Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk here on October 16th. And let's see, we still got the feedback going there. There we go. It's October 16th and I am live this morning. And I want to thank you all for your patience and kind words. I had to do a repeat show last week. And I want to say in the last month, I think I've done two, and I haven't ever done that. I've been doing the show 10 years now, and I've never really had to do that. But my father passed away last week, and it had been a long time coming, but it's still a surprise. And due to the timing of the funeral and things like that, I had to travel down to Indiana again. I had been down here quite a bit to help take care of my father, and he passed last Tuesday. So at any rate, we had the funeral last weekend, and so I had to gather my family and come down to Indiana for that. And so we did at the last minute, we had to do a repeat show. And I want to thank Derek for kindly putting that up. And I want to thank all the nice words from folks around the station and friends and family and everything. He was a proud man. He was a Navy veteran, served in the Korean War era. He was on Midway Island. He was in Kamisaya, Japan, as a CT2, which is a CTR2, which is a Navy cryptologist, and he was very proud of that his entire life. And I want to say it was so touching. The American Legion post did the salute with the grands, grands with blanks. Okay, I want to make sure we get that correct there. And the Navy sent two seamen to actually, you know, do the flag ceremony and fold the flag that draped the coffin, and it was very nice. So I'm back now, and looking forward to hopefully a regular season of fall shows coming up here. We've got it's middle October. It's going to be 39 degrees this week or something. So, man, it's time. You know, frost is almost on the pumpkin, and it's going to be time to be out there. Let's see. And to prepare for that, we've got our Michigan gun shows. We got the Nagani Gun and Knife Show yesterday and today, the Oxford Gun Show at the American Legion in Oxford, and the Cadillac Gun and Knife Show at the Wexford Civic Center, and the Harrison Sportsman's Club and Knife Show at Harrison, Michigan, at the Harrison Sportsman's Club. So, let's see. Ohio's got the Smithville Gun Show, the Cleveland Berea Gun Show, and the East Canton Gun Show, and the Fremont Gun Show. God, they got a ton of them down there. They're beating us again. We will beat them in football this year, but they are beating us in gun shows. Let's see. They've got the Washington Courthouse Special Ops Show at Washington Courthouse, Ohio. That's interesting. Fayette County Fairgrounds. Missouri's got the MACA Arnold Gun Show at the Arnold Eagles Hall in Arnold, Missouri. The Clay County Gun and Knife Show at the Clay County Fairgrounds there. The Sedalia Gun and Knife Show in Sedalia. And the St. Joseph Gun and Knife Show. And even New York's got one at, this sounds cool, it makes me think of Babylon 5. The Babylon Gun Show at the American Legion in Babylon, New York. So, very good. We have got new numbers, and I want to say, surprised me, we're only up about 1,200, and we are climbing in our pendings again. We are back up to 7,100 pending and only 1,200 new. I do not understand this. I can't imagine that, you know, the COVID pandemic is causing all sorts of problems. And we've been doing that for 2 years, folks, almost 2 years. You can get it down. I know you can do renewals in a week or 3 days. How come you can't get these CPLs processed through? Could be because they have NICS checks and things like that. Maybe the FBI is slowing it down. Not to be a conspiracy theorist, but let's see. I do have a note from Jim Walters out at Tri-County Sportsman's League. They're doing the running deer handgun shoot, and it's not really with a running deer. Did I ever tell you that story that there was a person who had signed up one time for a an event, and she saw that the event included a turkey shoot, and she called up and canceled her sign up for it because she would not be part of something where they were shooting turkeys. Okay. Well, they're not really shooting turkeys. They're shooting turkey targets. Okay. And then at this case, it's a running deer handgun shoot. Do you think we actually have running deer that go back and forth? Yeah, they're trained to go back. Well, you could train them, but they only last so long because when they get shot, they get shot. No, it is a deer on a cable on a trolley that they crank across. And so it's meant to be a moving target with a handgun. It's fun. Okay. And there are prizes and it's not that expensive. And it's a lot of fun. It cost for each relay is $5. So, and there is some, I don't know what the prize is, but it's worth it. So at any rate, that's out of Tri-County tomorrow at noon. Let's see. The shooter is positioned 25 yards away from a handgun deer silhouette. The deer is positioned at the right side of the gallery. Round count and order may change from relay to relay. And they start, the usual starting sequence is two shots at the deer standing still and two shots while the deer is running. And then a final one is shot when it begins to move across the gallery. So that's kind of cool. Okay. Let's see. What's on your hip today? I'm wearing a Ruger LCP2 with a Viridian laser on it, a Viridian reactor laser, which I have to call them because I wear this thing so much, my holster is getting, because it's a man-made material, it's actually starting to shed the outer coating a little bit. And it still works wonderfully, but it doesn't look great. Of course, who sees it in your pocket? Anyway, let's see. We have got the new, let's see, here's some stories going on. New Jersey parents freaking out over a gun store opening near their school. Oh my God, how can they sell guns near a school? Well, wait a minute. Don't they, they have liquor stores not that far from schools and they have, you know, drug stores that sell cigarettes and liquor and stuff like that. Now that could be a problem because, you know, kids may try to get somebody to buy them something, but you know what? No kid is going to be able to go in and buy a gun at a gun store. Okay. And by the way, anybody who is planning on, you know, not that I can get in the mind of one of these crazed shooters, but you do think he's going to go to there's a store near that school over there. I think I'll go. Oh, darn it. I failed my NICS check. I guess I can't do my school shooting today. What's wrong with these people? It's all this virtue signaling about, well, we can't have guns near a school. Well, you do. You have people that drop their kids off. You have police officers or school resource officers. There are guns, okay? And by the way, depending on the age of the students, there may be guns in school anyway because kids sneak things in. Okay, because gangs sneak things in, because drug dealers sneak things in. So if you think keeping a federally licensed gun store, you know, that is 500 feet away from a school, if you think that's going to somehow add safety to your students, you better think something else, okay? By the way, did you see this week? Now, you're not hearing a whole lot in the media about it, and you certainly aren't hearing our side of the story that would be See, I told you, it's about the person that's pulling the trigger or whatever, not the weapon. There's a, did you hear about a Kongsberg attack in overseas in Norway? Kongsberg. And there was a man who went on a violent spree that killed five people and injured at least two more. But he did it with a bow and arrow. Oh, come on, that's not an assault. Well, maybe that's an assault bow or an assault arrow. The fact is that you have, and by the way, you're not hearing this played up very much either, but he is a Norwegian who converted to Islam, you know, the religion of peace. And then he decided to buy a bow and arrow, and he decided to kill five people, okay, and injure two more. And now I got to believe, I'm sure somebody is going to get out there and start complaining about all these newfangled bows, you know, that are crossbows and compound bows. You know, it's okay to have a stick with a string on it, like when you're a kid. But man, a compound bow or a crossbow, well, you know, they're, I got to say, you know why? It's because of the bow and arrow loophole, okay? Because there is not a check on whether or not if you buy a bow and arrow that you should be allowed to have one. And what about bows? I mean, arrows, okay? Don't you think somebody should have a background check to be able to buy an arrow? Yeah, I do. I do. Let's see. Now, buy any, your heads are exploding. Anybody else who's listening out there knows I'm kidding. But if you just tuned in and you're here, what's this guy talking about, the bow and arrow loophole, and they need to have a background check on buying arrows? No, I was just kidding, okay? Let's see. Oh, yeah, they complained about, before that, they complained about the black powder loophole, because occasionally somebody will use a black powder in a assault or a murder or something like that. Again, it's the person and the perpetrator, not the firearm or the bow and arrow or the knife or the hammer. There's far more assaults that take place with hammers and fists and feet and things like that. So I want to say you're not hearing that in the media too much about, you know, the whole bow and arrow thing. I mean, you may hear about, oh, there was a mass shooting in Norway. Well, it was a bow and arrow shooting. And the guy was, oh, no, not that there's anything wrong with it, but he's a convert to Islam, which is, of course, the religion of peace. So let's see, what else? Did you? I first heard this story, but then I don't, then I heard his follow-up on the story. There's a woman named Sherry Shepherd, okay, and she is on The View, okay, and she is I want to say probably mid-40s, medium-sized black woman who is a comedian. She is hilarious. She has been on a number of sitcoms and stuff, and she actually has some fairly common sense views on a lot of things. Well, she was talking about buying her first handgun. How about that? That she's a new first-time gun owner, and she got it so that she has it for protection. Outstanding. Can you imagine anybody on The View? Can you imagine, what's her name, Joy Behar, or any of these other people? Well, I don't even remember all of them that are on there. They're all yappy dogs to me. But and I don't mean dogs from a standpoint. I mean like yep, 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 yep. You know, little yappy dogs that are always complaining about things. Okay, and so she's talking about getting her gun, and that she has a gun for. She felt very empowered when she bought the gun. She got it because she wanted to protect her son. I mean, and she got training and things like that. And I am thinking that is outstanding. Okay. Of course, let's see. Most of the segment was serious when she talked about it. Before going to break, Joy Behar tried to lighten up the conversation by joking about being too clumsy to buy a firearm. I feel if I got a gun, I'd shoot myself. I'd shoot myself in the foot. I'm such a klutz. She said. Sherry then hopped in with advice on where she keeps her. Now, this is the follow-up on the story. She She talked about it. She keeps it in her drawer next to her bed where she keeps her special toys, like as insect toys. I'm going, I did not need to know that. Okay. You know, why do we need to know all that? I don't. Matter of fact, you shouldn't even tell anybody you're keeping it in the drawer next to your special toys. You should tell them it's in a gun safe next, you know, like a vault next to your bed or something to protect any unwanted usage of it by your son or a intruder, robber, whatever. But we don't need to know the rest of it. So, Sherry, I'm you did not need to tell us that. Okay. Let's see. I have got a story here. Do you know they come out with so many guns. The whole small, high capacity guns now is just amazing. It's just, I talked last week about, or 2 weeks ago now, because I wasn't here last week, about a Glock magazine that they make that fits into Glocks that actually adds, you know, a third more ammo to, you know, if you had a 10-round mag, it turns it into a 15-round mag because it adds more stagger to it because it's thin wall. It's just steel instead of being steel and polymer. So even older Glocks can pick up, like a Glock, what is it, the 26 that holds 10 rounds of 9, all of a sudden it holds 15 rounds, and it's still a flush mag, so pretty cool. Well, they're designing a whole bunch of ones. We talked about one called the Ruger Max 9 and stuff like that. Well, of course, to follow up on that, they've got the Ruger LCP Max now, and I am wearing an LCP right now, an LCP 2, and it holds 6, I think. Let me take a look. Hold on. Now this is good radio here because I'm reaching in my pocket to find my spare magazine. Whoops, I haven't put it in yet. I'll actually pull the gun out. And it holds 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and one in the chamber, okay? Which is plenty, but what if you can get one that holds more than that, okay? So now they're making them, and they and it's to match things like the P365 and other ones like that, and it holds 10 plus 1. So instead of 6 plus 1, you can hold 10 plus 1. That is an amazing increase in firepower. And then if you still have another mag, then you can hold another 10. And that's pretty amazing in these little tiny pocket guns. And I want to say that the 380 is adequate. It has good ammunition. It has enough penetration to do what you need and enough expansion. And I don't have any pocket nines, so I probably won't get myself one of these. And I do have Rugeritis. I've talked about that before. I seem to have to get every new Ruger that comes out. But the LCP 2 I have been so delighted with, but I think I'll probably hang on to that one and get myself like a Max 9 or something because I don't have any pocket 9s right now. I've got, or small 9s. I've got full-size 9s, but no, you know, I've got, I don't know if I got a Beretta 92 FS, and I've got a Smith & Wesson 5406, I think it is. Anyway, it's... but those are all like 15-round heavy stainless guns. So I think I'm going to need to look into some of these new Maxes that they've got out there. How about you guys? Do you have a – by the way, what is on your hip? I haven't seen anybody calling in. I asked Derek this morning, and Michigan's got a bye week this week, so that you've got no excuse to not be listening to and calling in to Trigger Talk Radio at 832-1600. Is that correct, Derek?
822-1600.
822-1600. I haven't called that number in so long. I had forgotten it. Let me look up at the top. I have it on the top of my sheet. Let me take a look. Boy, this makes for... See, I am scrolling through my pages now, and it does say 822-1600. So, because I called Derek I called him this morning and stuff, and we have studio lines and things like that. But this one I have not called in a long, long time. So let's see. And I do get I get emails and things from you folks. I want to say I had posted on my website, and I posted on on the website and on the Facebook page, which I don't have one that's specifically for my my show. I actually have one reserved somewhere, but I never did it. I probably should start using that. But I posted the obit from my dad, which my dad, I got to say, guys, he looks a little bit like Errol Flynn in his Navy picture. So take a look at that on TriggerTalkRadio.com and see if he doesn't look like Errol Flynn, okay? Let's see. And, oh, this was something that I was looking forward to. And I don't know if you guys have thought about this. I've got a friend that is going to lend me his to try. And it is a Henry, and he actually has a Rossi too, but a lever action in a pistol caliber that you also can carry. And I was thinking about this. What a neat thing to be able to do. And that is, for example, and actually Theron has got one. He's got a Henry in the 45 Colt. And he actually has also, I believe he has a Taurus Judge that's in 45 Colt. So see, there's a combination where you've got a long gun and a handgun that are both chambered in the same thing. Well, there was a review this week I was looking at, and it's the Henry Big Boy X model in 357 mag. Now, it is pretty neat. It's actually, it's got a big loop, not a huge loop, not a rifleman style loop, but a bigger one so that you can get a gloved hand in it and stuff like that. It's got a little Picatinny rail on the bottom. It's got decent sights on it. It holds, let me see. I'll have to look that up. It's got some fiber optic rear sights on it and fiber optic front sights. It's in black. It's not wood. Some of the ones you find out there are, you know, blued steel and nice walnut or something. This one's meant to be, it's got a polymer stock, and it's meant to be kind of a tactical lever action. What I like is it is available in 357 Magnum, and that also allows you to shoot 38 specials. How cool is that? And I thought about that because I had loaded up like 1,300 rounds of 38 special and like 700 rounds of 357 mag. And what a nice combination to be able to use that in a nice lever action firearm for target shooting or for self-defense or whatever, and have it be the same caliber as maybe one of your carry guns or a larger barrel, you know, like a hunting revolver that you carry that's got maybe a 6-inch barrel in it or a 4-inch barrel on it rather than a snub nose or something, but to be able to have a lever action in the same gun. And it loads with a side gate, which is cool, makes it easy to top it off. It has a available Picatinny rail on top. The one that I'm looking at uses actually has one of the little Crimson Trace red dots on top, which would be awful cool as well. So I'm thinking, most people still think of lever guns as, oh, aren't those quaint? That's an old Western type gun. Or isn't that cute? That's his deer rifle or something. That's an antique deer rifle out there. But in reality, it is a very capable, higher capacity firearm. Okay? It holds like 7 357 Magnums and 8 38 specials. Okay? And so that is a fairly decent capacity. It is easy to handle, easy to function, which is amazing. And it's also fairly reasonable. The scope, let's see, it is MSRP is $1,000. So it's going to go for like $700 or so. So you're $699, $799. So at any rate,
Wham! Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And boy, that was a rookie 101. See what happens when you miss a week of your show? You get out of your rhythm and you just, you know, I'm sitting here yakking away, enjoying my, and I've heard the other guys do this occasionally too, because I always listen to all the other shows in the afternoon. And occasionally, you know, it'll be like, oh my God, I'm out of time. And it is so easy to, I feel like I'm sitting here just having a conversation with you. Hopefully you feel like that too. And all of a sudden, I miss the fact that Derek's holding up fingers or that the music is playing. And it's like, oh, gosh. Well, what is it Theron always says? Excellent radio, excellent content, marginal radio skills or something, marginal broadcast skills or something like that. Anyway, I do this for fun. I do it to be with you guys every week, so. Please forgive my mistakes there. I was reading an article this week that made me think about that, think about something. And it has to do with vintage rifles from World War II. And it said, why is it that most World War II vintage Garand rifles that most of them have had their barrels changed, while many and most of the M1 carbines that this writer had seen are with their original barrels? Is this true and why? Well, in my own experience, I thought about that and I'm going, you know, that's right. And I have a Garand, I have a 1944 Springfield, and it has a barrel that was replaced in 66. Which means it was still arsenaled probably into 66, maybe as a National Guard, or maybe even it doesn't have any import marks on it, so it didn't go overseas and come back or anything. It might have gone overseas, but it's still in U.S. custody. It didn't get, sold to the Koreans, and then the Koreans sold them back or whatever. But it has a 1966 barrel on it. You can tell that by when you pull the op rod back, you can take a look on the in between the upper and lower handguards. You can see that there'll be like a 1966 or a 65, 47, whatever. Whenever the barrel was changed, it would be on there. Now, if it was an original gun from 1952, maybe an International Harvester or something, they were still making them in Korean War times, and it had a 52 barrel, well, that would be correct. But they were not making Garands anymore in 1966, and mine has a new barrel on it. And so then, of course, I know that my I have a Springfield. It's an Inland Fisher Guide, M1 carbine, and its barrel on it says March 1943. Okay, so it actually still has its original barrel. And I guess the question is, how come the Garands have lost, you know, had to have their barrels replaced, and the carbines haven't? Well, there's an interesting story, but part of it, I would think, would be because of the 30-06 would be a hotter round that would have more throat wear from the higher pressure cartridge and things like that. But specifically, they said, you know what? During World War II, much of the 30-06 ammo, and that even after the war, had corrosive primers. And if you did not, have a cleaning kit and able to properly clean your gun, you may have corrosion based on the primer. However, virtually, now I did have a box one time of like some French M1 carbine ammo that was corrosive, but virtually all of the M1 carbine ammo that you got out there during the era of the M1 carbine and after it, because it was used into Korea and Vietnam, was all non-corrosive primers. So they were not as susceptible to the kind of bore wear and stuff that you would get from the corrosion of the primers. So let's see, we have got, let me see if I can get it. Bob from Ann Arbor is on the phone with comments about what's on his hip and lever guns. Hi, Bob, how are you?
Morning, Dick, doing well. I, like you, have Rugeritis. I have a 1980 Colt Python that I used to carry religiously. Replaced it when the price started going up with a Ruger GP100 4-inch barrel, which actually is on my hip, but it's in a Bianchi leather shoulder holster at the moment. It's cooling up outside for a cover, and so that's what's on my shoulder today. And also to go with, I also have a Rossi 92 in 38.357. I was in Texas a few years ago, and they were doing kind of a cowboy shoot with lever guns, and I just fell in love with the lever gun and came straight back and bought this. So
it is cool to have it chambered in the same round as a carry gun, isn't it?
Exactly. It's definitely a blessing to be able to do that.
And now, do you hand load yourself, or do you just purchase ammo?
I do not. I purchase ammo. I have a lot of hand loads. My dad was also into firearms, and so I have a lot of old hand loads from him that I use outdoors mostly. It's probably about 40 years old, but still shoots. And so, we have fun with that. So,
yeah, I find that. And by the way, and I hand load in all the calibers that I shoot. And it is so easy and cheap to reload for 38 special. You could have just do a ton of ammo for either the lever gun or for your revolver for very, very cheap. So what a economical choice there too.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I just retired myself, so my wife said I need a hobby, so that might be something I pick up in the future.
Well, do you know, I actually, I stopped off at Cabela's. I had to take some things back. I had bought some, I talked a couple of weeks ago about a chamber, Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti chamber event, Chamber of Commerce event, and I had bought targets for it. And then I ended up having to take them back because the event got canceled. And I stopped off at the reloading desk there and said, well, I just thought I'd check if you had any, and I didn't even get that out, and they go, no powder. You can't find the component. Unfortunately, it's one of those things. Once, I'll tell you, Bob, once the supply comes back again, then's the time to, you know, and actually you can buy some, presses, like a single stage press to get started with it, and start buying your equipment. That you'll still be able to find now, but you can't find.
Dick, are you there?
Oh, there we are. We're back.
Sorry about that. Well, we just lost connection with Dick Kupke here on Skype, so. Oh,
no worries.
Dick, I think you're back now. Dick, are you there?
I'm here.
Yep.
I'm here.
Okay. Yep. We just lost your signal there for about 30 seconds, but go ahead and continue on.
Oh no. Oh no. See, I'm Skyping it in today, and occasionally we have a little bit of bandwidth issues. So thank you, Comcast. Okay. Actually, it's probably the FBI and the NSA and stuff like that wanting us to lose our freedoms here. Now, Bob, I was telling you.
Oh, he's gone again.
I'm losing you again?
Yeah, I think so.
No.
Yeah. Sounds like your connection's pretty horrible. But thanks for being out there, Dick. We appreciate all you do on Saturday. So have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you very much.
Great.
I'm going to go to the call again. Let's try. Hey, Derek.
Yeah, yep, you're still on, Dick. So I turned off my camera, so you'll have some more bandwidth.
Okay, very good. Well, I'll keep talking then, folks. Before Bob called, and I'm glad to find out that you were out there wanting to talk about lever actions and pistol calibers. But I was talking also about the M1 Garands and M1 Carbines and the fact that you would have more bore wear on an M1 Garand because of the higher pressure cartridge and the higher power and higher temperatures that you would have with the M1 carbine. So I think that is probably very true. And I don't know if anybody else has had any experience with that out there. Let's see. Another gun that I was looking at is a Winchester. I'm kind of torn. I had mentioned that I'm hoping that Ruger brings back like the Marlin Model 60 and the Marlin 31. I mean Marlin 39, because they are such a cool gun that is, and they are adult sized guns, and they have fine wood on them, and especially the Marlin 39 is a real keeper. I mean it is a heirloom quality gun, and. But now Winchester has just come out with what they call their Wildcat, and they've had a couple Wildcats over the years. They have done one that had a that was actually like a Russian import a few years ago. So not all Winchester Wildcats are the same, but they have a new one out, and it is a very neat looking polymer 22. It has interesting bolt design, interesting carrier design, and I want to say it disassembles super easy for cleaning and stuff. So it would be a interesting youth gun because it's a little bit shorter, shorter length of pull, shorter grip on the gun. It's not so much of a full size. You know, man gun, like a full-size adult gun, but it would be an outstanding youth gun. So at any rate, I just think that that's worth taking a look at. It's a Winchester Wildcat 22 SR. So let's see what else we got. Three things you should expect from a good concealed carry class. This was an article I saw. Now, I was and still am an instructor, although I haven't taught any classes, mostly because I've been doing the show, and I've done some classes in between with my good friends Chuck and Rini Tellis. If you've ever done your CPL classes in the last 15 years, you may have had it with Chuck and Rini, and I may have been. Turns out there are some people I run into, and they go, "Yeah, you taught the class that I took," and I think, "Oh, that's great." But I haven't been doing them as much anymore because of the show. I would try to do the range portions with them, and I have been doing some renewal kind of classes just for people to help retain their skills, because so many people do not go out and practice the way they should. You really should go to the range once a month, once every other month at the minimum. And I know they say to renew it, you have to shoot a number of rounds in the last 60 days. But a lot of people, they only renew it when it comes time, or only shoot when it comes time for renewal. And that's just not safe. That's why it's good, though, to take a renewal class, because so many times things have changed. But one of the things that people sometimes they come in and they expect to learn how to shoot. Okay, well, I want to come in. Why? I just got a firearm and I want to learn how to shoot it and how to carry it and stuff like that. I want to say the first thing you really need to do is you need to have this is pre-concealed carry class. You need to have introductory pistol class and some basic training so that you can learn things like stance and grip and sight picture and trigger control and things like that, breathing, all that kind of stuff. Because you don't want to try to be learning that at the same time that you're trying to do a concealed carry class. Because one of the things that you need to understand is how you carry a gun. And if you're trying to learn how to shoot it at the same time you're learning how to carry it and what's comfortable and how stuff like that, it is kind of too much on the brain, okay? So most people who take a CPL class have some experience already, even if it's just in the past month or two and they've been going to the range and now they feel comfortable enough to sign up for a CPL class. But you do learn, you need to learn how to carry the firearm. And one of the things is that you need to select a holster. And so when they're teaching you how to carry a firearm, you need to think about how you're going to carry it. Okay. Now, there are a lot of choices out there. There's choices for men and women, and they may be different. Women carry frequently in a purse. There are purses that are made just for carrying. Okay. They typically will have a Velcro pocket, a zippered pocket, a pull-open pocket, something that is very easily accessible without digging through a purse to find your holstered firearm. And I got to tell you, I have seen people in classes that have a purse and they have a revolver or, God forbid, a semi-automatic unholstered in a purse. You know, like with lipstick and mascara, pencils and stuff like that, that could easily go into a trigger guard and stuff. You always need to have it in a holster or in a purse that's designed as a carrying where you only have a gun in that pocket. Okay. Now there are other things. I actually, And I get a kick because Theron has one too. I think I got it for him, or maybe we were at a gun show at Gibraltar Trade Center where they used to have that down in Taylor, and you would go, or Gibraltar, if that's where it's at. But at any rate, the Gibraltar Trade Center, and you'd go downriver, and they would have all these booths set up, and we both bought fanny packs. Okay, now fanny packs are pretty old school. Nowadays, they make them a little better. They're little, you know, sometimes they are these like survival packs, and sometimes there's a holster called a Sneaky Pete, I think it is. It looks kind of like a big calculator or cell phone holder, which is kind of cool. But so what you need to do is you need to think about what kind of holster you're going to wear. And then quite frequently at the initial concealed carry class, you will not necessarily even use that holster at the initial one. That concealed, personal protection in the home is what you do for the concealed carry class. And then personal protection outside the home focuses more on wearing a holster and drawing and things like that. And so you need to be thinking about what kind of holster. There are inside the waistband holsters and outside the waistband holsters, a lot of different types like that. I like ones that have inside the waistband because you can have a cover garment over it without having to wear a jacket or something. It's pretty neat. You need to be thinking about self-defense when it comes to the concealed carry class. And so you need to understand when you can and can't shoot. You need to understand what the difference is between concealment and cover. You need to understand because actually, you know, how many times have you saw on a movie where somebody's like hiding behind a couch and they're using it as a shield? And I got to tell you, a couch won't stop a bullet. Okay. Even a folded up mattress type of couch won't do that. Okay. So you learn about things like concealment, about cover, about when you can and when you can't shoot. I mean, there's a lot of times that people talk about You know, they're going to shoot somebody if they're, or at somebody if they've broken in the house and they're stealing their TV or something. You cannot do that. You have to feel that you are in imminent threat of death or severe bodily injury, or also in sexual assault, especially for women, but that can happen with men as well. That one of the things that you want to look for is a class that has, and this is typically required, has a law enforcement officer or a lawyer that is approved to be able to give the training in that case. I want to say some of the other things that you will learn are things like shooting from behind cover so that you're not presenting yourself as a target. You'll learn to shoot effectively in terms of multiple rounds, double tapping, things like that. You'll learn how to shoot for center of mass. People talk about, you know, well, can't you just shoot them in the knee or in the leg or something like that? No, you shoot for center of mass to stop the threat. And you're never, ever in a concealed carry class will they tell you, or should they tell you, to shoot to kill, okay? You're shooting to stop the threat. And that is important because the threat is what you want to stop. It's between God and the victim, or between God and the suspect and the perpetrator, if they are going to die or not. That and maybe an EMT operator. But other than that, you have to be basically shooting to stop the threat. Let's see. What else did I want to tell you about that? This was a story on things that don't suck. I always like that. And that is a tactical asset jeans. What are those? Okay. Well, there's a company, Tacticals Asset Tactical Jeans, that they have pockets that actually hold things. Okay. You know, have you ever had a pair of jeans that's got a pocket that you go, this would be perfect for a pocket knife or a flashlight, but it's not deep enough for a pocket knife or a flashlight? Well, they fix that with these tactical asset jeans. And so they also have an internal pocket on the inside so that some people like to carry in what's called an appendix carry, and that's on like inside the waistband. This one has a pocket sewn right in the waistband. Okay, so, and it holds the firearm very well. So I want to say this is kind of neat. It's called the Asset Tactical Jean. Let me see if it also, inside the pockets, it's got like painter's pockets, you know, the ones on the sides of the pants. It has little loops in there to hold your extra mags. What could be better? I have, you know, I just, at the beginning of the show, I was reaching in my pocket trying to find my spare mag, and I had it in my pocket, but I couldn't find it because I had keys in there too. Well, in this case, which that's kind of a no-no, but I'm in studio, so I'm not... So anyway, I'm not worried about it while I'm in the studio here. But, well, anyway, I'll tell you what, I am paying attention to Derek now, and the music is playing, and I will be more professional next week again because I'll be back in practice again. Thanks again to everybody who was kind to me and my family with letters and notes and flowers and things like that. Appreciate very much. I hope that everybody has a good preparation. Get out to the range, sight in those rifles, sight in those shotguns, because we are going to be into the hunting season very shortly. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. I'll see you next week.